Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Somebody said I was too loud last night, but we are in a very crowded bar, so you gotta talk into the mic so people can project.
I'm starting recording now, and Patrick is running back. And it's Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
All right, and we're here at Seven Locks Brewing in Rockville, Maryland, and it's Suburbs Fest 2022, and it's very exciting because we have with us Echo Park Jimmy.
EPJ! Yeah.
All right, here we go. Now people are excited.
Hello, everyone.
You've heard him on the Suburban Party Line many times. You wondered if he was a mythical creature. No, he exists. He's right here.
I tried to call in, but your phone's on silent.
That's right. That's
I was just going to call from the back of the bar.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
So how you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent.
All right. You got some shadow time.
Yeah. I got to meet the amazing shadow.
The amazing shadow.
I've literally met 1,000 dogs as a dog walker in L.A., and he's up there as far as unique. Like inscrutable, like this, you know, he's got that human face.
He has
he's
a
got
personality
those
to it,
eyes.
So Shadow.
Shadow is in the top tier of dogs. How many DNA strands does he have from different breeds?
It was like 12 or something.
Yeah,
right?
12 breeds, yeah. Some shepherd. He likes to patrol, but he's, I think, smart like a border collie is the main vibe I get from him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's smarter than I am.
Yeah.
That's easy. Yeah. All right, so you came from Southern California.
Yes, and this is a Southern California story.
Okay,
all right.
But you're originally from Ohio.
Yes.
You and I, both.
Toledo, Ohio.
Yes.
And my earliest memory is playing piano in Jim's room, in Jim's, you know, family room, and playing a song called Ducks on the Pond. And this predated, this was probably 1980, so it predated Dana Carvey. But even at that age, I was like, ducks on the pond, ducks on the pond, ducks on the pond.
See, I don't swimming, remember that. Little ducks.
Yeah, little ducks swimming. Like, I don't know how the song went, but that was
sort
an
of
early,
a song right there
earliest
the
memory is hanging out with Jim in late 70s, early 80s.
And I'll just tell you guys real quickly that one of the reasons Patrillo is a wonderful person. We hung out. We had many, many laughs and great times. But also, he had older siblings, which I did not.
Ah.
And so I would go over to his house and, like, get records and then, like, tape them.
We were talking about tape. Right.
Like, you know, he would tape, like, whole albums.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
you
had them as well, right?
Because I started buying albums in 1980 when all the classic rock bands made bad albums or disco albums or synthesizer albums. But my brothers had a deep catalog. Like,
right.
They had all the originals. And
right.
My sister had all the Barry Manilow and all that stuff. Partridge Family.
I think I'm remembering this correctly, but I think your sister took us to go see Stray Cats at Bowling Green.
Nice.
At the arena there. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Or somewhere, but it was Toledo, so.
Yeah. Okay, 2 minutes on the clock.
Oh.
James Petrillo.
Well, I had a couple things that I don't know. It didn't seem like we were throwing topics out to the crowd.
No, but we can.
But I guised it as your best Goodfellas moment at a show. Not just you get backstage passes, or like Jim and I met the guy from, what's the guy?
Titus Andronicus.
Yeah. That's like the Sid and Nancy moment where it's like, I don't know if this band is going to make it because I don't know what's going on with back here. But this is Goodfellas, if you don't remember, one of the early scenes, he takes his wife and they escort him down. And, you know, it's a tracking shot, so they track him all the way down to the perfect seats for the act, and they're right there, and everybody's just waiting on them hand and foot over everyone in the auditorium. Like, can you imagine seeing Frank Sinatra?
Right.
Where you're almost being treated better than he is.
Amazing.
So my story of that is in the early 2000s when Ozzy was doing the Ozfest, when he would take a bunch of different metal bands with him, I had the perfect timing of, I had a friend who was really good friends with the drummer of System of a Down. So he's like, oh, yeah, John says he's going to take us to the show. And I didn't know what to expect. But as we arrive at the venue, it's one of it's the Blockbuster Pavilion in the boonies outside of LA, like an hour east. It's a shitty, crappy drive, and then you finally get out there, and we meet him, and he escorts us. I mean, he's in the band, but you think an assistant, but he takes us, and we follow him all the way to where they're going to play. He guides us onto the stage, and he has a secret place behind his drum set with a bottle of Jack and like everybody's bottle, like the Shavo, the bass player, and like the singer. They could all go back, okay, you know, do drop Jack Daniels. And so he plopped us down. So we saw the whole show. So you could look out and see the, you know, Ozfest crowd, and you're on stage with System of a Down. And then every once in a while, a band member would come back and like, yeah, good show, good show. And then I was secretly like looking around. Did he see, can we drink this, Jack? So I don't know if there's a way to throw it out, if anybody has.
Well, we can. Like, do you have any moments
I would
like
say
that?
A Goodfellas moment, or even to you guys.
I mean, I don't have any moments where I was actually treated well, but I have I had a moment once when I was covering a ZZ Top concert, and I got to the venue, picked up my tickets, and it was backstage passes.
Yeah.
Normally, when you're reviewing a concert, they just give you a ticket somewhere in the auditorium. Suddenly, I could go backstage and say hello to the guys in ZZ Top, which was kind of mind-blowing, yeah.
So I had that happen with Garbage.
Ah.
They gave me the backstage pass, and I got to go back and meet, like, Shirley Manson and, you know, stuff, and it was wonderful.
That's pretty good.
And Jody had this experience.
Jody?
Butch Vig.
That's right.
When we did the old show, and Butch Vig came in, and we interviewed him, and Jody was like, can I just sit there in the studio for a while, right? That was that kind of moment, right?
That was amazing.
Jordan nods yes. Okay, and then I will say this real quickly: when you and I interviewed Matthew Sweet,
yep.
at the Birchmere, after, and he was very gracious. He was a wonderful, you know, guest, and I think enjoyed like talking with us, spending time with us, and everything. And then and then my wife joined for the concert proper, and Matthew Sweet is one of her favorites, absolute favorites of all time. So when the show ends, I said, yeah, we'll just go backstage and you can meet him real quickly. And I just go and like knock on the door, and the manager opens the door. We just sort of kind of pushed our way through because I was like, I've been back here. I'm backstage. And turns out he doesn't really like to interact with people after the show. But still, we were like, Katie loves you and you're so great. And so he did post for photos and did all that kind of stuff. And she was so excited about all that. But yeah.
And we met Tommy Keane that night, too.
We did meet Tommy Keane that night. That was great. Okay.
Jody has one.
Great moments. Come on. Here comes Jody Gersh.
Hello. Jody Gersh
here. Hi, Jody. Jody Gersh, everybody.
Friend of the pod.
All the way from Colorado.
So I'll be quick, but in the early aughts, I worked at a magazine, and the guy that did our Mac support also did the Macintosh support for Springsteen and invited me to go see him at the Garden in New York, and he was working on their computers. We got to go backstage. We got to eat in the, I don't know, green room, whatever, and then I got to stand in the aisle when Springsteen came off the stage after the concert. He came off the stage, he stood there and he looked back out at the crowd and just hung out there for a while, which was pretty freaking cool. And then he walked by me and I was like,
Wow, pretty that's great. A good one. That's a good
Tim
one.
Tim Hoffman's got one.
All right, hurry on up, Tim.
Hey, 1978 on my birthday, it just got lucky because some friends of my brother's had four tickets to see Bob Dylan at the Akron Civic Center. And the girlfriends were like, no, thank you. So so they called up my brother and like, hey, we got these extra tickets. One's for you. You want to invite someone else? So my older brother invited me. So it was my birthday. So that was cool. We get to the center and walked in to where we thought our seats were, and the whole soundboard or light board was just like occupying several rows of seats. So we're like, meh, meh, sorry, you don't have any place to sit. And they let us kind of stand there for a while feeling like lost and like forlorn. And they're like, oh, come down here, and took us down to like third row.
Wow.
And so that was a great show. I felt very special there, and they took care of us then.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, EPJ.
You know what's funny, Tim? I'm going to tell you a non-music experience just like that. where several years ago when I went to a Wizards game, a Washington Wizards, and imagine this, they were bad, they were terrible, and not that many people were going to this game, and I went with my daughter, and we had upper deck seats, and as we're going up there, a guy from the team stopped us and said, "Would you like to upgrade your seats for free?" And we were like, "Oh, sure,
sure."
And he gave us courtside seats. Whoa. Because they had to fill in those seats for TV, right? Because yeah. not you know nobody bought those $1,000 seats or whatever. So we got to sit courtside wow. and see, you know, Andre Blatch or whatever.
That's
you know,
amazing. So,
yeah. Whoever was on the team at the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, anybody else VIP treatment?
VIP you know? Treatment. All right.
All right. What else you got?
The other topic.
Talk into the mic, though. Move it over.
Oh, the other topic was you're at a party and you think you're gonna. People are going to love this Beth song. And the room clears. So there's two ways to look at it. You thought it was going to be good and you cleared the room. Or you want the party to over because that's the only examples I have.
Right.
It's like play Working Man is what we came up with today. Play Working Man on 11 and everybody will leave the party. So does anybody have any clearing the party songs?
You described like every Wingtip Slope concert at the beginning of our career.
No.
The room just emptied when we started playing.
I don't know. No, that's a good one. I don't know. I will just say that back in the day when I was younger and used to make mixtapes for parties, that was another thing you did. Like you'd make
mixtape
specific to the party and you really try to plan it out. Like what are people going to want? What's going to really make this party memorable or great or whatever? And then you would get so disappointed when people didn't react the way
that's
you thought
right.
in your
right.
head.
They're not
right.
reacting to track yeah, six.
They're not listening.
That was
my segue.
Was damn. Yeah.
Right, all right, you want to answer a random question?
Yeah.
Also, take one of those Julie Ocean CDs.
Julie Ocean.
You're going to like that a lot.
Take the Anthony and Johnsons, too. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, I think right. you would like that if you don't have it.
Anthony!
All right. EP,
exactly.
Pick a number. Pick a number between 1 and 20.
7.
All right.
Somebody said I was too loud last night. But we are in a very crowded bar, so you got to talk into the mic.
Projection.
So people can project.
Right. 7 has already been picked, and so has 8. I'm going to give you 9.
Okay.
All right. Number 9 is what is the farthest you have ever traveled away from home?
Number nine. Key West, Florida. Spring break. Never been out of the continental United States.
Okay. And did you enjoy that
Vancouver,
trip?
Canada?
No.
That's pretty far.
Yeah. I don't know. How were those trips?
Key West, one of the most memorable spring breaks you could take. It's paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met this girl who's eating rum-soaked gummy bears. She was really hammered.
Exactly. All right. Everybody, let's give it up for Echo Park Jimmy. All right, we're gonna do one more tomorrow and then I don't know what we got other stuff to do. All right,
yeah,
it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye.
EPJ.